Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Baldwin here. So good to have you here with us for another awesome episode of the Speaker Lab podcast. Now, one of the best parts of TSL is working with our students. Like day in, day out, we've literally helped thousands of students to build and grow their speaking business and to share their message with the world. And I am thrilled that you have the opportunity to hear from some of them during our monthly student highlight series. Because one of the things you're going to find is their stories are going to offer really insight and hope no matter where you are in your speaking career. We're going to talk about exactly what they've done, how they've built their business, and some of the results that they're seeing. And so for this series, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to hand the mic to one of our coaches who are in the trenches every single day, helping our students to gain the confidence, the clarity, and that clear path that they need to their very own speaking success. I know you're going to love hearing from and learning from these students. So let's get right into it. Enjoy.
Hi everyone, Mary Alice Goldsmith here, Director of Student Success, and today I am taking over the Speaker Lab podcast. It's a true honor to have the opportunity to introduce you to some of our amazing students, and I promise you're going to learn so much from their experiences and be inspired by their perseverance and success. Today it's my privilege to introduce you to Michael Laidler. Where are you from, Michael?
Originally from Miami, Florida, but right now I live in Beaumont, Texas.
Oh, wow. Okay. Really cool. Well, I'm happy to have you here today. Good to see you. How is everything?
It's always amazing just having the ability to wake up each and every day. This being one of those days, I make the most out of it every time.
Yeah, I love that. That's really great way to start a day. I mean, can't have a bad day when you start a day like that, right?
Correct. You're 100% right.
Great. So Miami to Texas. Do tell.
I was actually born and raised in Miami, Florida. And then when I turned 16, graduated from high school, I actually traveled up north to Tallahassee, Florida, to attend Florida State University. And that's kind of where my career track started as well, because in 2005, when I was 19, I actually became a police officer.
Oh, wow.
So from that point on, you know, police work, trying to graduate college. Then I was like, well, what's next for me? Mm-hmm. What came next was Border Patrol. That took me to Laredo, Texas. Few years there, then I had my son. I was like, I don't know if I want to stay on the border. It's kind of rough around these neck of the woods. Mm. So then I joined the federal prisons. And from that point, I've moved around a few times. And now I finally landed in Texas again for a second time.
There you go. Oh, very cool. So, okay. So I know like in your career, speaking has been part of it. I got to coach you a couple of times, but I'd love to know, like, what is it today? Like your career, how has speaking evolved and what do you speak about?
Speaking started for me, at least from what I can remember back when I was a field training officer when I was a police officer. And that's when I think more of the coaching, the training kind of started. And that was 17, 18 years ago. And then it slowly progressed. I would every once in a while go speak somewhere, but nothing professionally, so to speak, nothing truly organized. And then probably about 2015, I was selected for a supervisory role, and I knew I was going to be put in a position of instruction and being in front of others. And one of the things I don't like to do, I don't like to look crazy or like I don't know what I'm talking about in front of people. That was my driving force at that point. So about a year goes by, and I'm more getting into my leadership role. And then about 2016, I joined Toastmasters. And they're one of those organizations that help grow your leadership and your speaking abilities. And I really enjoyed participating in that program and doing the different activities. So about 2017 or so, I was really getting involved in speaking, and I heard the John Maxwell program. I actually saw one of my friends, former coworkers, he joined the John Maxwell team. And I was like, man, you look like you're doing so much professionally speaking. So I kind of dove into it around 2017. I got the John Maxwell certification, and that's kind of where my true formal speaking business kind of jump-started. And from that point forward, I spoke and I was learning the speaking game. I didn't always know all the marketing strategies or everywhere I wanted to go, but I would say about 2016 is when I start formally developing my skill. And then 2017, I made it a business.
Awesome. So where does the Speaker Lab fit into that timeline?
So 2017, 2018, I was growing my business. And then in my full-time job, because my speaking business was a part-time setup that I had, about 2018, 2019, I received a job promotion. And 2019, I spoke once professionally. 2020, I spoke zero. 2021, I spoke another zero times. And I was tired of having goose eggs. And I was realizing I had more time in my schedule than what I previously thought. And I told myself, you know what? I need to get some more help, some more tips, some more strategies on marketing. Because as a speaker, a lot of us come out just thinking that, at least me, for example, I thought that just because I was a speaker, I would be getting signed right away. People were like, Michael, come speak here, come speak there. And you kind of get that, but it's not always paid. It's always like, hey, we have a charity or we have this training going on for our six team members. Can you come do it? And when you're not professionally trained to market yourself, or you don't know how to go get leads and find those people that pay, you say, oh yeah, sure, I'll do it. You find yourself doing more free stuff than paid. And there is a place and time for that. But if you're trying to grow it as a profession, then it's not going to work because you can't live, you're not going to live for free. So Speaker Lab, at some point in 2021 or 2020, I got on their email list. I don't know how I got on it, to be honest with you, but I stole you from the internet.
Yeah.
It was something. Yeah. Somehow I got on it and I would see the emails from Grant Ball, and I know it's part of the business and everything. And I liked what I was seeing on there. And then when I made my decision to actually dive more into professional speaking, I was like, you know what? The Speaker Lab was continuously emailing me, and not over emailing me, maybe once or twice a month, but it was nothing overbearing. So when I got ready to make that transition, I was like, okay, what do I need to do to go from not speaking and not really getting the target audience I wanted to more developing a path and setting goals for myself? So what I was seeing with the Speaker Lab and then the get paid and or get booked and paid in less than 90 days, I was like, you know what? Let's see if this program actually works. So that's kind of, Mary Alice, that's kind of where our journey started. It was about October of last year.
Right.
And yeah, so I jumped into it, and I want to say November 2nd or November 3rd of 21, I started doing part of the marketing program that's outlined in Speaker Lab. And I had my first contract in December to come speak a few months after that. And now just in 2022, I've had 15 speaking engagements just based on the formula and working it. And right now, like, if I'm sorry if anybody heard any beeping in the background, but I'm getting emails about engagements for next year. And that's all part of the marketing program. It's nothing that I did not have this back in 2017, 2018, 19, 20, or really any of 21. But now since I have it, I'm benefiting from it. And that's kind of how my speaking business has evolved. And I know Eric Ream, if you haven't heard him, great coach, get into the VIP program. But he talks about there's 1,500 gigs a day. And there are a lot of opportunities for speakers. So what my speaking business has grown has really, it has went a lot further than what I would have expected over less than a year. And when I tell people my journey, they're like, what do you mean? I have people that have been speaking longer than me, and they're actually better speakers than me, but they don't get as much business as I do, even in a part-time role. I just talked to a guy yesterday. I was like, well, how much do you charge? And he charges a third of what I charge. And he's been speaking longer than me. And he actually, like I said, he speaks better than me too, but his marketing strategy and his business strategy isn't as constructed as well as mine has been because of the Speaker Lab.
Wow. That's really, I mean, that's really awesome. You know, you said it's like the Michael of 2017, 18, 19, and 2020 is like, who is he? Right. He's like a completely different person than the Michael who's standing in front of me right now. And this is what our mission is, right? You have a confidence. There's an air about you that you own this piece of the pie in terms of what you speak about and your speaking business. Like, that has to feel really good. No wonder why you're just happy to wake up in the morning. Look what you're waking up to.
Oh, yeah. And I talked to some of the other people that I was in the class with through the speaker lab. I'm like, hey, man, if you work the program, it's going to pay off. And all the extra stuff I bought, and if I had my phone connected, a lot of the things I've done that I've learned through the speaker from since October of last year has come through the speaker lab. My virtual studios come from Gregory Dennis. Mm-hmm. Some of my concepts on virtual presentations come from Eric Green. I published a book this year based on hearing a podcast from Chandler Bolt that was done through this speaker lab platform. So there's a lot of things that Mary Alice, you and your team have done a great job doing. And I think sometimes you have to see it to believe it, but all the stuff I have done as far as my speaking business go has been funded through speaking engagements that I didn't have last year.
Mm, yeah. I mean, it's really an awesome story, your story, because we give the same information to every single student, correct, right? Mm-hmm. And to see certain students take it the way that, like yourself, take it the way that you have and really, like you said, worked the program. Every day you're working the program. And I want to get into that because I think you're a great example. There's another ding, folks. Another email.
That is, I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, oh yeah, that's somebody trying to ask. Yes. Perfect.
That's great. In real time, we are booking gigs while we're doing the podcast. Oh, that's awesome. But you know, that's the thing. Like Grant always says, like, it's easy stuff. Like what we teach you is pretty easy, but it doesn't mean it's simple. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so true when he says that, because it's the step-by-steps that we teach, the speak framework, it's not complicated, but it is made complicated when people don't simply implement the steps. Right.
Correct.
So I'd love to know from you, like, what does your day, like now that you've gone through the program, you went through the speak framework, you went through the virtual program, what does a day in the life of a professional speaker look like for you?
So that's kind of interesting because I still have my full-time job. Yeah. However, one thing I've learned through the speaker lab is prospect at least 10 minutes a day. And really, you're going to prospect a lot more than that no matter what. Just checking emails or returning phone calls, making phone calls, developing curriculum, doing video podcasts, YouTube channel, writing a book, whatever. So in my life, what it looks like is I do work 8 to 10 hours a day in a full-time job, but then I find time throughout the day, whether it's in the morning, at a lunch break, or even after, doing research on more presentations, developing my skill set, networking, figuring out how to communicate with different people. So the speaking side is just a continuous movement. It's continuously developing. It got to the point earlier this year that I had too many speaking engagements lined up for this year to where it would affect my full-time job. So I stopped prospecting because if not, I would have had to miss work like without the appropriate leave to take. And I didn't want to do that to my full-time job. So as a professional speaker, I find myself looking for ways to manage my time because now I have a lot more things to do, but also just like looking for different engagements to go for, talking to different people, kind of understanding just the opportunities that are out there. So a day-to-day process is really, when it comes to professional speaking, even if you're doing it part-time and or full-time, is prospecting every single day, looking for more. Even if you send out 5 emails, you may not get one today, but you may get one from that photo from one of those 5 people next week. I mean, right. I've had emails that I forgot I sent 2 or 3 months ago. And then all of a sudden, I guess they saw it and they was like, oh, sorry about the delay. What questions do you have? And then that leads to a whole nother conversation of potential business. So every day in my business for professional speaking, I prospect, even on the weekends, even if it's just me responding to a quick email, or I might be out somewhere and see a conference like, oh man, maybe I can go speak at that conference. Let me figure out how to use the information I got from the speaker lab and figure out who that person is I can contact. And that's just being out in the public. So, or saying, hey, you know what? Having a conversation with some of my friends, like, y'all know anybody that's looking for a speaker? So as a professional speaker, it's crazy. Once people see it, social media helps out. They're like, hey, we saw you're a speaker. Can you come speak for an event over here? Can you do this? So it's a lot of promoting yourself because you have to, especially if you're a small business. Now, as you grow, like Grant or Eric, obviously you have other people doing some of that, but every day is reaching out, figuring out what the next business is, figuring out the next client. And then obviously developing a time that you can do it, because time management is just as important as anything else.
Yeah, no, that's huge. In fact, it made me think of the episode that was released today, that the Coach's Corner episode 407 on the podcast, where Nanette and I talk about vision and strategy, and like mm-hmm. you talking about this balancing act of, you know, because a lot of people are like, I'm overwhelmed. I have a full-time job. I have children. I have family. I have friends mm-hmm. and I want to speak. Well, Michael, you just said it too. You have all of those things as well, right? You have a son, you have your full-time job, you have your speaking mm-hmm. career, but there's something else that you have is you have a vision of what you're willing to say yes to and what you're willing right. to balance. And because of that vision, you're able to say no to certain things without feeling mm-hmm. like you're in a lack of, right? You still have that abundant mindset, which is right. so important. But you knew that when you reached a certain number of speaking gigs, that it was time to say, no, not, you know, yes. for today, this is not going to work because you do have a life. So talk about how did you come up with that number? How did you know that this particular amount of speaking gigs will still allow you to be a great dad, a great full-time employee, a great son, friend, all of those things?
I actually never thought about it until I was in the VIP program with Eric Greenman. He said he roughly does about 20 to 25 open clients, give or take, a year. Mm-hmm. Now that isn't, I don't think he included existing, and I don't want to quote everything he said, but I start looking at what my schedule allowed. So for me, my magic number was 15. Mm-hmm. If I have more than 15 engagements in a year, as it sits right now, I have too many. And that's about one, maybe two a month, because that allows me to kind of balance out my weekday schedule, my weekend schedule, my time with my son, my time doing other activities, because a full-time job, speaking, which we call it part-time, but it's really full-time as well. Mm-hmm. And then family time does take a lot out of you. So for me, I just kind of arbitrarily came up with the number, and I said 15. I don't think I can go more than that based on my schedule, just sitting down and planning out my year and planning out different things. Like I said, 22 is packed. If I took any more, it would be one of those, it has to be on the weekend or it has to be really planned. But like 23, as I look forward, it's more wide open. And then as I see myself hitting that 10, 11 mark, I may take prospecting 10 minutes a day down to 5 just to help balance that out. Or I may just stop reaching out to new people and maybe just cultivating those relationships, like not telling, like telling them ahead of time, hey, I have nothing left in 23. Let's look at 24. Mm-hmm. And one of the books I actually read recently was called Oversubscribed. And one of the things that author talks about is when people start realizing they can't get you, they're going to want you even more.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Because they know if your schedule's full, there's a reason why it's full. And then you got to remember, if you're on your email list, your website, social media, if you're showing the events you're at, they know you're getting booked.
Yeah.
And that's, as an event planner, as a training coordinator, you want to bring in people that other people kind of know about or that they really believe can really benefit their conference or whatever they have going on. So once I hit my number, I do tell people, hey, I'm out for this year. Let's start working on next year. Let's start looking at what we can do to help build another year of training. So that's kind of the number I came up was 15, just looking at my overall schedule, 1 to 2 a month.
Yeah, no, it's so important, because it could be enticing to be like, oh yeah, I'll do 2 or 3 speaking gigs a year, but then you become a shell of yourself, and that, you know, really impacts the energy of the business. But you said something really powerful there, like cultivating the relationships that you already have. And I know that's something that Eric drives home. I know that's something myself and the coaches drive home. You know, when you get one speaking gig, that alone can turn into 5 to 10.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And those 5 to 10, it just keeps growing and growing. It's the snowball effect, but cultivating mm-hmm. those relationships are really, really important. What are some ways that you have found really works in doing that in terms of cultivating those relationships? You know, like if I had you come and speak, and then, you know, after that event, how are you going to capitalize on that relationship you have with me to get more speaking gigs?
Every conference I do, unless they are too busy, I do a post-event call. And that's what I actually learned through the Speaker Lab. I actually do a pre-event and a post-event. Pre-events have actually, the more event coordinators I've talked to, they're like, no one ever does this. No one ever calls us and walks us through a checklist. We sign them, and then they just show up. And then we're trying to figure out all these things. So I do the pre-event initially. So it shows that the coordinator that how they, it shows how serious you are.
Yep.
I've even had other gigs booked out of that pre-event. There was one I did, actually the very first one I did this year. Once I did the, as I was doing the pre-event, she was like, hey, looking at my schedule, I have another time slot open. Do you want it? And I'll pay you while you're already here. So that was part of cultivating the relationship because I gave her an answer to an issue she had. Mm-hmm. So once I do that, and obviously you have to perform at your conference or event. And if you don't, obviously you got to, I would recommend give the money back if you, if something happens, if you don't give them what they expect. But then when you do the post, you got to do a post event because one, you got to work on yourself and you want to see and understand the kind of feedback they had. And remember, you're there kind of, you're teaching to the audience, but you're representing that event planner. Mm-hmm. Or that training coordinator. So you want to, whatever measurements of success he or she has, that's what you really, that's needs to be your main goal when it comes to
that. That's huge.
And that's people don't understand that. And when they hear that, they appreciate that because they're busy, but they don't really have anybody just appreciate them just for their job. So some of these people are volunteers. They're not always paid. So they're booking 10, 15, 20 speakers. And then you come in and say, hey, what works for you? What will make you look good? What will help out your association? And then once you know that, you talk about in the post event. And in there you ask, do you have any referrals? Do you know about any events coming up? What can I do to get better? What did I hit my success? And that's all part of building because sometimes they're like, you know what? There is somebody I can connect you with. I was just talking to them the other day and they were talking about they need a speaker. So when it comes to that, you see what they need. You say, okay, I know I might not be able to come to the next conference, but can I recommend somebody? So now you're helping them do their job, not doing it for them, but you're saying, hey, you may not have time to look for a speaker, but I have a person. Yeah. So you're just doing all the, or I like to do all the little things that I've just kind of learned through the Speaker Lab just to kind of have customer service. Cause I'm not always trying to sell to them. I'm just trying to build that relationship so they know if they need something from me as far as a professional speaker goes, they know I'm willing to at least try. So that comes from a post-event call. That's probably been one of the most important things that I have done that's allowed me to get more feedback and actually earned me more gigs and opportunities to connect with others just because all the dust is settled from the event. So you're not trying to rush up to them right after when everything's going on and they have time to sit down and say, okay, this is who we can recommend you to.
Yeah, no, it's so great. I mean, we say this all the time. I know you heard it when you were going through our program from probably everyone that you came in contact with, but it's a relationship building business. And so, I think the other thing that's really profound for you is we have a lot of students who come to us really frustrated. Not a lot of students, but we have students that come to us and they're like, I reached out to 20 people and I have no response. And I'm like, oh gosh, how do I let them know? Like 20 people is nothing. That's chump change, right? But you took the cold leads, right? We give you cold leads. You don't know these people. They don't know you. There's no reason they should be opening your email because you are a stranger in their inbox. Uh-huh. But these are 15 paid leads from cold traffic. What do you think for you made such a difference for you to get the responses that you were getting?
Following up what I said I did or when I said I would. So I would do the cold email and if they responded, obviously try to get them on the phone. Not everybody wants to get on the phone right away. Depends on the person or they directed you to somebody else, but get on that phone. If you can't get them on the phone, email. If they don't respond right away, follow the program. Wait a week, wait 2 weeks, wait whatever the time delay is, and then re-email them. If you get them on the phone, you send them something, follow up. Because there was a gig I did this year where I talked to the coordinator in November of last year. And we talked on the phone and everything. We didn't actually talk about what conference I would speak at. We just talked. So she kind of understand where I was going and I kind of understand her needs. And she's like, all right, call me in January. I did, no response. I was like, oh man. I waited a few weeks. I emailed again. No response. I said, all right, I'm going to wait about a month. I emailed again. And then I waited about probably another month after that. And then I did that fourth email that we talk about in the program where, hey, the ball's in your court. Hey, I'm not going to keep pestering you. And literally the day after I sent that, she forwarded it to her assistant. And I ended up speaking for that conference 3 months later.
Wow. That's
so cool. For those leads, it started off with a cold lead, but the follow-up, I think a lot of my post-event calls have actually said that follow-up and my continuous communication has really helped me out because they appreciate that because they're busy. Mm-hmm. So you got to, our goal as a professional speaker, as a small business, is to make that path of resistance as minimum as possible because we don't want them to suffer. We want them to know they call Mary Alice, boom, we know she's on it. We call Michael Laitler, we know he's going to respond quickly. So just that post-event call and just that follow-up has really, I think it's really helped me out at least.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love that. So, you know, it sounds like you're living your dream. I mean, you really had a mission to create this business. I know it's part-time now. What's the long-term goal?
So I used to always say back when I was in 2017 that I wanted to be the John Maxwell of law enforcement officers and the law enforcement industry. So that's still one of my goals.
Yeah.
And I can see doing this full time. I can vision it. It's not hard. I don't think it's just, you got to be able to understand what kind of field you're going into because mm-hmm. you are a contractor. You're a professional speaker. Obviously you can sign long-term deals, but like everything else, it's never guaranteed. So the long-term for me, I can see in the big picture is 10 years of having my own speaking company where I am doing the speaking, but I have other speakers providing trainings that are similar to what I view.
Very cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. So you speak on leadership with law enforcement, correct?
Yes.
So tell me, what's the benefit? Because I mean, obviously you guys have trainings on all different things. So you just come in and train them on this aspect of leadership, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the answer. So what a lot of, and it ain't just law enforcement. I'm realizing this in a lot of industries. Yeah. Leadership is talked about, but is not really trained heavily mm-hmm. because there's so many other things that come up that are more tangible. Leadership is an intangible skill. You don't really see it, so to speak, until you look at your retention levels are horrible or your job satisfaction is low. And all that's usually just based on leadership. We talk about, well, we have a bad environment. Well, what's being done to increase that environment? What are the leaders doing? So a lot of organizations, they don't put as much funding, at least on the average organization doesn't put that much money into leadership. So whatever they're looking for on how to give feedback, how to lead through adversity, how to just grow your people, how to come up with succession planning. I mean, I've heard so many organizations just talk about that. Like, all right, we're leading now, but we don't know who's next. And I'm thinking to myself, that's makes me foam at the mouth because I'm excited. I'm like, man, this makes me like, oh man, this is about to be exciting. So the leadership side in law enforcement and most other industries, it's not really built on as much as we think. And when you look at some organizations you've been in, people have talked about it, but how many have had the program and executed it as well? Because a lot of other things come up. If you're in a safety world, you're probably gonna say, well, you need to have these 52 safety certifications. If you're a doctor, think about doctors, they lead teams. But mm-hmm. when's the last time you actually heard of a doctor going to a leadership conference?
Yeah.
or they're being in a leadership program because they have so many other certifications that in theory, at least when it comes to tangibility, it takes a priority to everything else. So leadership, what I've discovered is needed everywhere. And especially in law enforcement, with all the things we go through, I've seen only a benefit to it and just kind of understanding yourself. And that's kind of when I take the leadership or self-awareness approach, I kind of build on both of them just because of the industry I've seen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really an interesting time for you because you're in it, but then you're mm-hmm. also, so you can kind of see where some of the gaps are, and then you could really dive in deeper and have that empathy and compassion for the leaders in law enforcement. It's really awesome opportunity for you actually. Okay. So tell us, you know, what, if someone's listening to this podcast and they're like, oh, I really would love to become a speaker. I'd love to have 15 gigs on my calendar right now, but I just don't know. I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if my topic's important enough or has a purpose out there. What kind of advice would you give someone who's on the fence about, you know, pursuing their dreams as a speaker?
trial and error and be able to accept failure. You're going to fail because you failed. And if you're not a speaker right now, that means that you probably failed to live up to your potential. Because if you're at least listening to a Speaker Lab podcast, you're thinking about it, but you haven't implemented for whatever roadblock you have. But to get over that, you just got to put your information out there. I've had people even in the program say, well, I'm not ready yet. My presentation's not built. You don't have to be built. These coordinators, these event planners, they want to see something, usually an abstract, just to have an idea, but they don't need to see you give a whole hour and a half presentation for them to approve it. They're not watching a whole hour and a half
Please don't send an hour and a half presentation to an event planner.
That's the thing, though. They don't want that. And I think sometimes people like, man, I'm not ready. You're not going to be ready until you get on stage.
That's right.
You're going to prepare and you're not going to be ready because you don't know what you're going to get when you get up there. So why not at least get up there and see what happens? So if you're on the fence right now, you're like, well, I don't have time for this. If you don't have time, that's fine. But don't say that you're not ready, because you probably are ready if you've at least taken the step to look into a speaking program, because that takes effort in itself. I always tell people, if you're at least thinking about it, that means that you probably put some effort to it. If you're me being on the Speaker Lab email list, there was some point, must have been 2021, where I was thinking about, I was like, you know, let me sign up for it.
Yeah.
So it was already there. So if you're on the fence, you're like, well, do I want to get it? Just try it. Just try the program, get through the first at least four modules, give or take, and start working the program, build your website, get your speaking topic, start thinking about how to get gigs, do your demo video, get all that set up, and just throw it out there. Try it. And trust me, you're probably not going to swing on. You're probably going to miss on the first one unless you're lucky. So be ready for that. What I thought I was going into, because my main topic has been self-awareness in law enforcement, but a lot of the places I called initially wanted leadership. So I already had leadership because that was something I've been doing since 2017. So I had to take a little bit of a transition. I was like, yeah, I talk about self-awareness and leadership. And the first 5 or 10 people I talked to, they said, all right, tell me more about leadership.
Interesting.
Because their conference was executives, meaning they were chiefs of police, sheriffs, director, superintendent. So they wanted more of the leadership aspect because that's what they needed.
Yeah.
I know what I can present, but at the end of the day, your job is to recognize a problem. You develop the solution and then you present it. Mm-hmm. That's your whole goal. You're trying to present a solution to their problem, not the other way around. They're not giving you a solution to your problem unless you mean getting paid, which helps pay your bills. But outside of that, your ultimate goal when you present, when you're a professional speaker, is you're finding a solution to their problem. So I tell people, do not sit there and work on your presentation for 6 months.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that, because you may work on this amazing presentation to you, and then that first person you call, they say, we want to talk about leadership, but I know you're talking about, let's say, resiliency, which more like mental health, but we want you to talk about how to handle feedback. So you created this whole presentation. They like you. They like your style, but now you pigeonholed yourself into another area. So you got to get out there. You got to have a concept. You have to have a niche that you're looking at. You have to have a target audience, but your target audience will show you the way.
Yeah.
And then you just take that way with your abstracts, with reaching out, kind of talking to people, seeing what they need. And then you kind of build your business more from that.
Yep. Yeah, you have to gather that market research and speak the language of your market, right? Because everybody wants to know what's in it for them. Like if I put you in on that stage and you speak to my audience, like what's in it for them and how are you going to make me look good as the event planner, which you were speaking to earlier. And you have to be able to answer those two questions, right? What's the biggest pain that those people in those seats are having? And how are you going to fix it? How are you going to get them from pain island to pleasure island? And in the process, make the person who hired you look like a genius, you know? Right. So it's important to understand all of that. And I think, you know, one of the biggest benefits of the Speaker Lab is we don't just talk about your talk and how to perform on stage. We talk about what this whole being a professional speaker and owning a professional speaking business embodies. And that's everything from, you know, who you are, who you serve, what you do, how you do it, why you do it. You know, so that you can answer that question, what's in it for me? right? And then also give yourself that confidence of being that expert in your specific niche, which is powerful. You can't market yourself if you don't know what you're an expert in and what problems you're solving. So the Speak framework is so powerful that way. And I see how it's paid off for you. I see how you've gotten so clear on your niche and the confidence you have as a speaker. It's really, it's awesome to see, you know, from a year ago around this time to now. It's really awesome. But you're also doing the work, which is the other key component. So if you're on the fence, you know, and you know you want to be a speaker, sometimes you just need to get that help. And I think, you know, when you think about Michael in 2017 and 18, you know, you knew you were onto something. You just had a bunch of puzzle pieces. You just needed to put all those pieces together. And I think by investing in the Speaker Lab, that's exactly what you did. And that's why you're seeing the success that you're seeing, because you obviously were not messing around, but you also got the resources you needed to really create, you know, that puzzle and put it together and say, oh, this is where I'm going. This is how I'm going to get there. Let's go. You know, so good for you. Great job. Well, we're super excited for you. We're super proud of you. We always love celebrating our students, and we are so appreciative for you spending the time and sharing your story, because it's an incredible story. And, you know, what's next? What's 2023 looking like for you?
Hopefully, 15 gigs again, easily. So yeah. that's
I don't know. I'm thinking there might be more.
there probably will be. But on top of the gigs, I want to start incorporating more training programs in some of these law enforcement agencies, because I do believe that motivational speaking at a conference for an hour, 2 hours, half a day, even a whole day is good, but you get your long lasting effects when you actually incorporate a whole training program, when you're there 3 months, 6 months, a year. And that's kind of one of my goals for 23. So if I find myself maybe at, let's say, 8 or 9 speaking gigs, and I have several organizations that I'm training at, that might be my cap. But I know when it comes to life and traveling, 15 is the magic number overall. So this year I did mostly speaking engagements. I worked with a few agencies on some of that additional development, getting kind of, like you said before, one gig equals other trainings and gigs, so to speak. And it has for me, but that might be more of next year, just to see how things go. But I'm looking forward to another 15 gigs. Like I said, you guys heard the beeps. I actually glanced at it. I actually saw, I was like, oh yeah, that's guy been waiting. He said he was going to email me back today about something in April of next year. So it's things that have been getting worked on, and conversations I had in November of last year are coming around right now. Because when I contacted him, it was a little late. And we talk about that in the Speaker Lab. When you call somebody, it just may not be the right time, and they may have their speakers. You don't give up. You say, okay, thank you. When can I follow up? If they don't tell you, okay, I'm just going to follow up in August of 2022. And you do that.
Yep.
So you give them a chance to say, because sometimes they need that trust built up. Because if you did a cold email, like you said, who's this random person emailing me talking about who books your speakers? I don't know this person. Mm-hmm. So that follow-up is, some of those follow-ups are coming around. Like I set my CRM to give me an alert, like, 6 months later, a year later. Some people said, hey, we're booking speakers in 24. So contact me in January of 24. Like they give me that far out. So I just put in my CRM and I just leave it alone.
Yeah.
So definitely my year next year is looking at more speaking, like the same amount of speaking engagements, just with an incorporation of different localized training at some of the agencies or companies. Because I mean, I've had people from other disciplines reach out to me. Just looking at my website.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I found your website. Can you do a virtual training? And I was like, yes, I can. That's the whole point of why I have even a virtual studio, because I was already working on it, putting the pieces in place, because listen to Eric, listen to you all at Speaker Lab. I started hearing about virtual trainings and I was just like, huh. And I saw how professional Eric's looked. And I was like, you know what? I need to have something like that, because when the time comes around, I don't want to be trying to react and rush.
Right.
I want to, when the lady called me, she said, can you do virtual training? Absolutely. When do you want it? Because I already knew what I had prepared for. Mm-hmm. So now I have this set up, and I was excited to be on this podcast today just because I was like, I get a chance to use my equipment.
Yeah, just, it looks amazing. It really does.
I'm going to use it again later today for a virtual training I'm doing for 2 hours. So It's part of the whole process, working it, developing it, and creating that, following the program. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're obviously killing it just by following the program. And again, it's easy steps. It's not necessarily a simple thing, but there are easy steps to take. So yeah, we're really excited for you. You're awesome. Keep up the great work and keep in touch. And thanks so much for spending this time with us.
Oh no, I appreciate it always. It's been a good program for me.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Speaker Lab podcast. Now, I want you to know that we do this podcast simply because we want to serve and support speakers like you. We don't charge anything for you to listen, but in return, we do have one small favor to ask. Would you be willing to subscribe to the podcast where you're listening right now? Hit that subscribe button. Also, leave us a rating and review within iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen to these podcasts. We read every single one of them, and they also help other people to find the show. Also, if you are looking to take the next step in growing your speaking business, be sure and check out thespeakerlab.com. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com. We got a ton of free resources and tools there, and you can also learn more about the programs that we offer, which include one-on-one coaching. Our mission here is to help you find the confidence, clarity, and clear path that you need to own your speaking success. So again, check us out over at thespeakerlab.com. As always, we appreciate you hanging out with us, and we'll catch you next time. You're awesome.